Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Oddity News. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the latest edition of the Oddity News here on the Oddity News Network, Chair Shot Radio Network, also known as thechairshot.com. My name is Dave Wirtz. I will be one of your hosts, but with me, as always, is PC Tunney. I'm not going to give you a name today, Tunney, because it's been a couple of weeks. We had Chair Shot's annual Fest of Mania's franticness, and I didn't push for you like, hey, let's try to get together and record something, only for it to fall through because something fucky on my end was going to happen. But I know it's Mania week. I know Chair Shot gets hella busy during Mania. So I wasn't going to push for that. And, you know, nothing wrong with that.
No, Ray Cash did an excellent job this year and took up the mantle of putting out a ton of specials. I think he had 6 shows out Mania week, bringing back the Podfather Mags from across the pond, Ricky and Clive from across the pond. We had an episode of The Outsider's Edge. Kyle and Carl returned. The Total Package series returned as DJ and Ray broke down the Raw and SmackDown rosters and rated them. And then Dave and Ray just talked about the guys that aren't in the Hall of Fame that should be on a nice Attitude of Aggression podcast. But
I know I'm supposed, I have to listen to that because I sent over a bunch of guys, and knowing wholeheartedly that they were going to like scoff and go right over them. I knew.
I haven't listened yet, so I couldn't tell you personally. So, but anyway,
That's okay.
But anyway, yeah, tons of content there. Not necessarily need to haven't listened to it before WrestleMania. Just a bunch of good stuff on the radio network, and we're going to continue that as we finish up spring and head into summer here.
Yeah, you're damn straight. Also, listen to Bandwagon Nerds because you guys have been doing your villains bracket, which I get like the tiebreaker votes.
Me, Dave, Patrick, and Ray are on the show. We're recording the show, and you know, if there's 3 or 4 votes, obviously there's no need. Well, we got a couple ties the last couple weeks, and on air we just decided, I'm like, hey, I can probably get an answer from DP, Aesop, and DJ, and they're all guys who have come on the show, and they're all guys who are smart comic book nerds. So yeah, we've had like the tiebreaker live on the show the last couple weeks, so I thank you guys for getting back to me so quickly.
Well, I'm hoping, fingers crossed, I think I have the quickest response rate.
You're right there.
I'm really quick on that. Yeah, shit,
you're really good.
Yeah, well, this is The Oddity, where we bring the weird and wacky of the news to today. So that way, you know, we can kind of spice things up a little bit. And of course, this past week or weeks of content is no different. So let's start it off. Hey, Tunney, do you suffer from ligma?
I don't think so, but I don't know what ligma is.
Oh, ligma balls, Tunney. Well, yeah, that's what we used to say. But according to Dexerto.com, ligma could actually become a recognized medical condition thanks to one man's rare disease. A fan of the H3 podcast phoned in to ask Ethan Klein to help him name his rare genetic condition after being approached to do so by the National Institute of Health. On April 11th, a caller named Typo was featured as a special guest on the episode of the H3 podcast, where he described his unique genetic disorder and the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity in giving it a name. Typo explained that he had been ill for most of his life, but only properly diagnosed after going to the hospital when he began to feel especially sick 5 years ago. After getting a full blood workup, doctor says he has stage 4 cancer. But 8 biopsies and several invasive surgeries later, it was actually determined that Typo was aging differently due to an issue with his telomeres. To better explain Typo's condition, we'll have to give a quick science lesson. Telomeres are protective structures on the ends of the chromosomes that help prevent them from unraveling, basically. And when you're born, telomeres are long and they gradually shorten as you age. However, this caller's telomeres are extremely short despite being in his early 30s, leading to a whole host of medical issues for him. And according to Typo, his cells either need to stop dividing or die. In fact, Typo didn't even have a detachable telomere on his chromosomes at one point. And for now, doctors are working to determine whether this condition is an autoimmune disease or a biology disorder. But in the interim, the man with the rare disorder wants to name it Ligma, which is awesome.
Okay.
Science, Tunny.
It's fact science.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what Ligma, I'm saying.
Ligma for the win.
Ligma balls. By the way, some of the other offers from the chat were BOFA, Shrek Swamp Disease, and Benjamin Button Cancer Disease, also known as the BBC.
I think we're going with Ligma. Well, speaking of chats, Sam Altman admits that saying please and thank you to ChatGPT is wasting millions of dollars in computing power. If chivalry isn't already dead, it's certainly circling the drain. OpenAI CEO and tech billionaire Sam Altman recently admitted that people politely saying please and thank you to their AI chatbots is costing him big time. When one poster on X, formerly Twitter, wondered aloud how much money OpenAI has lost in electricity costs from people saying please and thank you to their models, Altman chimed in saying, it's tens of millions of dollars well spent. You never know, he added. While it may seem pointless to treat AI chatbot with respect, some AI architects say it's an important move. Microsoft's design manager, Curtis Beavers, for example, says proper etiquette, nice beaver, helps generate respectful, collaborative outputs. Using polite language sets a tone for the response, Beavers notes. The argument can certainly be made what we consider artificial intelligence might more accurately be described as prediction machines, like your phone's predictive text, but with more autonomy to spit out complete sentences in response to questions or instructions. When it clocks politeness, it's more likely to be polite back, a Microsoft WorkLab memo notes. Generative AI also mirrors the levels of professionalism, clarity, and detail in the prompts you provide. A late 2024 survey found that 67% of U.S. respondents reported being nice to their chatbots. Of those who practice courtesy, 55% of American AI users said they do it because it's the right thing to do, while 12% did it to appease the algorithm in the case of an AI uprising. The AI revolution is probably a long way off, if it happens at all. Many AI researchers doubt we'll ever build a truly intelligent algorithm, at least based on the current tech of large language models, but the environmental consequences of present-day AI are all too real. Unfortunately, those pleases and thank yous are adding up big time. One Washington Post investigation, done in collaboration with researchers at the University of California, studied the impacts of generating a 100-word email. They found that just one email requires 0.14 kilowatt hours worth of electricity, or enough to power 14 LED lights for an hour. If you were to send one AI email a week over the course of a year, you'd use an eye-watering 7.5 kilowatts, roughly equal to an hour's worth of electricity consumed by 9 households in Washington, D.C. Now imagine the tens of thousands of lengthy prompts we're feeding chatbots like OpenAI ChatGPT on the daily. Not exactly low impact. So if you're mulling whether or not to be thank Grok for its efforts, maybe the better move would be to ditch the chatbot and write the email yourself. The Earth and your brain will thank you. I got to tell you, I have been a checkmark subscriber to the Elon Musk X machine for a while, and I love Grok.
You've told me how much you like Grok. I don't use it, but I don't use Twitter all that much.
And let me put it to you this way. It's learned what I want for responses. It remembers chats we've had, like this whole, it's really helped me with Villain Madness and a lot of the lists and stuff we do to get a little bit deeper research real quick. So yeah, just an interesting article there, a little less odd and weird, but a little more futuristically interesting to me.
I'm not going to lie. When I do send something to ChatGPT or something like that, just as an initial structure builder for me, I usually put please and thank you at the end, or please at the beginning, thank you at the end, just because I want to stay in that good habit. So, you know, say what you want, but at least I put it in the message, right?
Sure. I mean,
right.
I don't necessarily say please or thank you. I think I have.
Wow.
I have before, but it's like my Grok and I have become friends. It's like I don't need to say please and thank you anymore. We're like cool, you know. I've been like, "Hey Dave, thanks for coming on the show today. Please show up for number 34."
Look, I'm just saying, you could be nice. I don't know.
Fuck you. Tell a story.
All right. This next one comes from the Gutenberg Posten, which I would assume it's
okay. So you
some
got the
type.
You got the translated version of this story. I tried to pull this one, and then when I went to bring it up, it untranslated itself. So tread lightly in there.
Oh boy. Well, let's try it. All right. Parrot screamed, "Fuck you," at firefighters and was lured down with cigarettes. Denny Mausch and his colleagues were out on another errand in Cortendala when they noticed a parrot in trouble. It was sitting in a tall tree and didn't dare to move or fly away. It wasn't, it's not really part of our mission to retrieve animals that are out stuck, even though it's easy to believe that. But if we can help it, we will, says Denny. Once that was done, however, Denny and his colleagues from the Greater Gutenberg Rescue Service began their rescue operation. Mouse himself remained on the ground, but one of the other firefighters had to get up. As it was sitting 5 to 7 meters up in the tree on the narrowest stick it could reach, it began to yell, "Fuck you," over and over and over. Despite the bird's brazenness in distress, the rescue service tried to get a hold of the bird, but it was still difficult to attract. Must have been stuck on the branch for a long time. By 4 p.m, it had already perched on the branch, and it was not until 10 p.m. that they managed to get it down. How they did this? The rescue service learned from the parrot's owner, who was also at the scene, that the parrots are afraid of the dark and that it was therefore not particularly keen to move. But the owner also had an ace up his sleeve, a pack of cigarettes. He heard that they managed to lure it down with the cigarettes. I don't know the truth, of this all, but that's what I got, says Denny Mausch. The parrot was certainly ugly in the mouth, but according to the rescue service, the parrot, whose name is unknown, was still charming and harmless.
Fuck you.
Yeah, don't tempt me with a good time. Am I right?
That's a funny story. The headline caught me, and then all of a sudden I went in and it was in German. I was like, oh, fuck. But you got it.
You got it. You mean freaking.
Freaking. Yeah, you know, birds can fly, so I don't know what they're so worried about.
Well, again, it was dark, so it wasn't going to move in the dark.
But it would have been fine.
You don't know this, okay? Have you ever owned a bird? I think not.
Let's move on. Next story comes from Daily News. I'm going to get into it. I'm going to skip the title, the headline.
Ooh.
I'm going to skip the headline because it gives it away. Although the first part of it, it just tells you what's going on. A man was arrested for getting physical with the worker at a kid's lemonade stand in Florida when he was denied a free refill. Police in Clearwater claim Stephen Cusimano came across the juice stand being operated by children and the victim in a residential area around 7:30 p.m. Tuesday and purchased one beverage. He then became angry when he was not allowed to refill his cup, according to an affidavit shared with the Daily News by the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office. The age of the female victim isn't noted in the report. Pinellas County officials didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. Cusimano, 45, is accused of then grabbing the victim's wrist while standing in a fighting stance and threatening to beat her up before fleeing on foot. Cops said the suspect admitted to the confrontation but claimed the situation escalated because a lemonade stand worker was talking shit to me. Police said Cusimano, who pleaded guilty...
Fuck you! Fuck you!
...pled not guilty to felony battery, is homeless. He reportedly has a rap sheet that includes trespassing, narcotics, disorderly intoxication, assault, and weapons charges. After being booked and released on bond, he was later reunited with his parrot.
With his firefighter.
Well, folks, I think it's halftime here on The Oddity. So what I want you to do now is open up your browser and head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Check it out. Plenty of great, awesome, cool designs. Get it in soft style. Spend a couple extra bucks. Your nipples will love the feel. That's prowrestlingtees.com. /thechairshot. We'll be right back.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Donnie, we continue this weird and wackiness. This one coming from sfgate.com. Donnie, do you happen to like minor league baseball?
Not really.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate.
The Savannah Bananas?
I'm really big on
the Savannah Bananas are a minor league team, right?
Savannah Bananas are not. They're actually professional. They're like one of those... with like a semi-professional teams.
But that's what minor league teams are.
It's not minor league because it's not a feeder system into the thing. They also play a completely different sport. Banana ball is a completely different sport.
You see how he yells at me, people?
Damn straight. But one of the more recent trends in minor league baseball has been like series that the teams will change their names, right? Which is particularly fun, in my opinion. What do we have? The Timber Rattlers. Is it Oshkosh or whatever? Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, which is a minor league team for Wisconsin. They changed their name to the Wisconsin Udder Tuggers, which was pretty cool. When my brother was playing, or I should say calling games out in Winona, Minnesota. Yeah. They actually, it wasn't their team, but another team changed their team up to the Motor Boaters, which I'm okay with it.
Listen, minor league systems, whether it's, you know, hockey or especially hockey and baseball, they have exceptional entertainment value to their packages, right? Like, I think of all the things, like, go to a Milkman game if you're in Southeast Wisconsin over at The Rock. Highly entertaining. Very, very
great.
Very
so
great.
So cheap.
Yes, very. I was going to say great value, you know, like family friendly, you know, Fireman Jim. I don't know if anybody knows Jim Rinelli, but he's done a great job over there of helping run all of that stuff. So, yeah.
And they have done those types of games too. They had a candy themed one, and they were the Sweet Teats, which was, I do own one of those jerseys. It's oddly comfortable, but not comfortable at the same time. It's not, it's a very odd feeling, because it's not like a real jersey. Well, the Sacramento River Cats recently promoted their new one, but it was quickly recalled. The San Francisco Giants AAA team said it will no longer use the new identity at all. Want to know what that identity was? The Gold Diggers. Yes, in a statement emailed to the SF Gate, the River Cats said, our recent marketing campaign for an alternative identity clearly missed the mark. Our intention was to creatively reference the rich history of the Sacramento and Gold Country, but our approach was wrong, and we are sorry for the mistake. We will no longer be using this identity. The team had said it was planning to wear the Gold Digger uniforms five times in the 2025 season, with their first game coming later this year. Later this month, I should say. On Thursday, however, the team unveiled the alternate branding via promotional video that seemed to lean into another meaning of Gold Digger, depicting two women with cartoon dollar signs in their eyes at seeing the new Gold Digger's uniform and hat. One of the women was significantly younger than her apparent husband, with whom she seemed to have just left a jewelry store with. Oh, I'm not going to lie. Like, Gold Digger really isn't that bad. And especially when you see, like, these uniforms, they're not great. They're actually, like, the logo and everything is kind of just like, whatever. You know, if you just wouldn't have doubled down on the damn Gold Digger thing, you would have been fine.
Yeah, it's I mean they should have never backed off of it. They should have just kept whatever.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Where they want it. Who gives a shit, right? I mean, we're a little bit. I mean, look at this. I think we over.
It's so boring.
Yeah, I think we like overcorrected political correctness in the past decade or so, and we're slowly starting to come out of that. Where, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't all take ourselves so seriously and just kind of laugh once in a while. Anyway.
Look again. As long as maybe you didn't want to get too big into the trope in the video, like whatever. If you just would release it as the Gold Diggers, it's fine. That's my opinion.
Well, I can guarantee you minor league teams will continue to push the envelope in order to get to fill the stands.
I submitted one myself not too long ago because I wanted to hopefully win something. At least feel cool that they used my design. So I submitted the crop dusters.
Oh, hey, I like that one. Cool. Good luck.
Right? It's nice. I think nice and simple, but funny.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a guy.
Look at that. Look at that.
I like
pretty
it.
Sick.
I wish you luck.
That's what I'm saying.
Good luck.
Well, no, they
oh, you lost? Oh, you're a loser. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll move on.
Thanks.
Loser.
Fucking loser.
Loser. Our next story comes from EastIdahoNews.com. Not to be confused.
Whoa, slow down. East Idaho? Yeah,
not to be confused with Northwest Corner Idaho News.com. A 45-year-old woman was arrested Wednesday and accused of leading police on a high-speed chase on I-70 and then calling for roadside assistance after officers spiked her tire. Anna Mae Cabalsa Martinez was booked into the Emory County Jail for investigation.
Wait. It's her name Anna Mae?
Anna Mae. It's all together. A-N-N-A-M-A-E.
Anna Mae. Okay. Cabalsa. I was like, Anna Mae? Are you fucking kidding me?
No. Anna Mae Cabalsa Martinez. Investigation for reckless driving and failing to stop for police. The odd series of events began about 5:20 p.m. when Martinez was spotted by a Utah Highway Patrol trooper on I-70 going 120 miles an hour, according to a police booking affidavit. I reached a speed of 130 in an attempt to catch the vehicle, the trooper wrote in the affidavit. By the time the trooper caught up with the vehicle, Martinez was going 95, but as soon as the trooper got behind her with his flashing lights and siren, she accelerated to between 120 and 130. Troopers attempted twice to spike the women's tires. They were successful on the second try near Sigurd, which was nearly 100 miles away from where Martinez was first spotted. The vehicle's left front tire lost air, and the vehicle pulled to the right side of the road and came to a stop. Traffic was shut down, and a high-risk stop was performed with multiple troopers. The driver and sole occupant of the vehicle failed to obey any commands to exit the vehicle or roll down the window. I tried multiple times to get Martinez to roll down a window or exit the vehicle while yelling as loud as I could. A PA speaker was also used to try and get Martinez to obey the commands, which she refused, according to the affidavit. About 40 minutes into the ensuing standoff, police say Martinez called AAA to get her tire fixed. The roadside assistance company transferred the call to the police, who in turn transferred the call to a trooper at the scene. I was able to talk Martinez into exiting the vehicle. Martinez was placed under arrest and transported to the Emory County Jail. That'd have been hilarious if, like, fucking AAA just showed up, you know? Hey, man, does somebody need a tire?
Well, except it's AAA. They take 45 minutes to get to you. So, like...
Well, they had been sitting there for 40 minutes, so...
That's fair.
Yeah.
That definitely would be great. I want to know how they knew to turn over to the police. She must have said that the police spiked her tires, right?
That, or I would imagine maybe they got police fodder going on where they're doing the dispatching, or they get updates on traffic stops. Just to, I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah. Okay. Tony,
I only have as much as
do you
the
know
article.
That... Oh, go ahead. What
no,
were you
sorry,
saying?
You're good. Keep going. What do I know?
Do you know that it's an historic week. We have a monumental event happening very shortly. Do you know what that event is?
I think it happened yesterday. Is it they're taking that boat out of Lake Michigan?
No.
Oh, did you hear about that?
No.
They took the boat
no,
out?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, they moved that boat that was crashed on the rocks. It was sitting there, since, it was sitting there since October. People started graffitiing it.
Oh, no, that's not it. I'm talking about an athletic event.
The Pope died.
That's certainly not athletic. No, damn it. Tomorrow, held in Los Angeles, will be the first in.
Uh-oh.
Involving actual sperm will be held April 25th at the Hollywood Palladium in Los Angeles. Sperm Racing is a startup founded by a team of young millionaires, announced representatives from two competing schools, the University of Southern California and the University of California, Los Angeles. They will provide microscopic swimmers for the inaugural sperm race. The race will take place under a microscopic camera that will track the progress of the sperms as they attempt to cross the finish line. The startup says there will be three races held to determine the overall winner, and play-by-play commentary will be provided during each heat. There will also be instant replays, leaderboards, and betting through approved partners. Yes, Eric Zhu, one of the co-founders. Sperm racing isn't just about racing sperm. No, that's what it's about turning health into competition. It's about making the male fertility something people actually want to talk about, track, and improve. Zhu wrote that health is a race and everyone deserves a shot at the starting line.
So
where's your money, Tunny?
Oh, so I have a question. Are the contestants provided live or beforehand?
You know, I don't quite have those details. I would assume. Well, okay, hold on. So I've seen this before. I believe sperm can only survive outside, like in open air for, what is it, like 20 minutes? Unless maybe they've frozen it or something.
I'm gonna
assume no.
Honestly, I don't have any.
Also,
more.
What's the finish line?
I don't. There's an egg. Got to be an egg there.
If it's not, it's unfortunate.
It's just like Look Who's Talking. Remember that one? Remember that movie with Look Who's Talking?
Oh yeah, that opening scene. With that, or I should say, opening like title sequence when they're. It's like John Travolta's like, hey, get out of my way.
Like Randy Orton's WrestleMania entrance from a couple years ago when the giant sperm snake was following him down the ramp.
Oh, yeah. That was gross.
That was funny.
But who you got? USC or UCLA?
I got UCMEP.
Oh. I mean, I'm taking UCLA. I'm just
okay. The Bruins over the Trojan. I don't know. I might have to go with the Trojans.
Yeah. Well, the Trojan prevents the flow. Well, so.
Yeah. That's where they practice. That's where they practice. Once they get taken off that leash, you know. But our last story today comes from theindependent.com, and I'm going to read the headline. Man who didn't want to look after girlfriend's pet sent bomb threat to cruise she was on. A 19-year-old man who was set at his girlfriend for going on a cruise has been sent to prison for making a bomb threat to the ship. Joshua Lowe from Michigan admitted that he was annoyed that he had to watch pets while his partner and her family went on a Caribbean cruise, leading him to take drastic measures. Sending an email to Carnival Cruise Lines, Mr. Lowe casually wrote, "Hey, I think someone might have a bomb on your Sunrise cruise ship." What followed was a search of over 1,000 rooms after the ship had departed Miami in January, prosecutors say. The Sunrise liner was heading for Jamaica and had to be diverted to the port after authorities were alerted. Assistant U.S. Attorney Nils Kessler said FBI agents traced the email to Lowe, who was living with his girlfriend's family, Kessler said. Lowe admitted he sent the message because he was upset that the family went on a cruise while leaving him behind to care for their pets. Anyone making a bomb threat should expect to be taken at his word. Fortunately, this particular hoax did not result in physical injury, Mr. Kessler added in a court filing. Mr. Lowe was, okay, I don't think that's how you want to write in a story. Mr. Lowe was sentenced to 8 months in a prison for making the false bomb threat on Monday. The offense carries a maximum penalty of up to 5 years. In a letter to U.S. District Judge Paul Maloney, Mr. Lowe said, "This is all my fault and take full responsibility." Writing at the time, the 19-year-old...
Oh, you don't say!
Yeah, the 19-year-old was charged. U.S. Attorney Mark Totten said, "We take every threat of mass violence seriously. Hoaxes can endanger lives, incur needless costs, and divert public safety resources needed to address real threats. My office has zero tolerance for wrongdoers who intentionally convey false and misleading information prompts a law enforcement response. Oh, shit. Oh, Mr. Lowe was also assigned community service to be a dog groomer. I just made that up. Or, you know, the funny thing would have been like, the family got home the same day they would have gotten home anyway. I mean, that's classic. You're 19. That's so fucking stupid, right? Like, you're like, oh, I'll make a bomb threat.
No,
and then they'll have to
fucking
come
19-year-old like, that should be that stupid. That's something that you do if you're like 12.
Well, either way, it didn't work out. Don't do that at home, kids. Don't do that at home.
And don't you stop listening to The Oddity. This has been another issue, edition, exclusive, if you would. So keep listening. Keep telling us about how much you love these stories, whether it be any of the ones you heard today or the ones maybe we didn't. I didn't even get the chance to bring up the Walmart stealer named Speedy Gonzalez.
I seen that one. Maybe you'll have to help. Folks will just have to continue to tune into The Oddity, Dave.
That's what I'm saying. So for PC Tunney, I'm Dave Wirtz. This has been The Oddity. Keep listening on the Chairshot Radio Network, also known as thechairshot.com. And this has been The Oddity. Keep that news ridiculous.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.